This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back just after 5 o'clock with Rop and Zook. Hope you're having a good Tuesday. We'll get some Blazers talk coming in hot here in our next segment. It's going to be big. It's going to be huge tonight.
Bro.
Clearly, Suk is fired up about it.
I wanted to go to the game, but I don't make Isaac Robb money, so I couldn't get in.
I'm sorry.
I looked on StubHub. And
need a better agent.
Yeah, even the first couple games here in Portland, you could get in 300 level for $50. But
I've got some stats on that coming up.
This is a tough ticket tonight.
Indeed it is. We will get into that this hour. In the club tonight, Game of Thrones odds, Who Will Die, and the Easter Bunny Brawler. We got to talk about him.
That's one of the better videos that you will see.
Now, he claims he is nonviolent, except that he's a wanted man in another state. So,
well, someone spit on someone, and you don't do that in front of the Easter Bunny, damn it.
A couple of people, several people actually, weighing in on our Sicilian lady who's old and suing TriMet for $1 million because she fell when the train moved.
Yeah. Apparently, she wasn't aware that the train,
moves. Yeah. Doesn't Medicare cover her medical costs?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
I don't know how any of that works. And someone also said that it's not her that's suing. It's the son. It's the crooked son and lawyer.
Yeah, he pictures it's like, the family.
Yeah, she's not
guaranteed.
She's not suing anyone. There's an angry
daughter. She doesn't have enough in the bank to satisfy them. So they're like, perfect. Let's add $1 million to that.
Sounds about right.
Sorry about your broken femur, Grandma, but we're going to get you some money.
I would like $700,000
for
pain and suffering.
Another one says, this is the type of stuff that leads to ridiculous rules. Next thing you know, it's going to be illegal to stand on a MAX train or a streetcar.
Well, again, there was a woman that got $15 million for wearing a hooded sweatshirt, keeping her headphones in, and running into a MAX train. All of those things happened, and she got $15 million. So... I mean, I suppose, you get hurt on city property, throw a lawsuit out there.
Is this an extreme case of first world problem? You were surprised the damn train moved? Isn't that why you got on?
Yeah, but she didn't know that it was going to move then. She wanted the conductor to tell everyone individually, excuse me, ma'am, the train is getting ready to go.
Good times, Jace. Good times. Well, hey, some other sports talk coming up, including a story I saw in the Oregon Lottery and their sports betting app that they have rolling out.
It's about time.
To us. Well, they're hoping to get it here by August is what they're saying.
Just in time for football season.
Well, that's their idea. So we'll get into that too. But right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
What it is!
So the dump.
Number 5.
Phoenix Suns have fired their coach, some guy named Igor. Only coached there one season.
Yeah, because it was clearly his fault that the Phoenix Suns sucked.
They are in hot pursuit of Monty Williams, apparently, are the Suns. Their next coach will be their 7th in 8 years. Lakers interview Jason Kidd. He becomes the third candidate for their vacancy, along with Monty Williams and Tyronn Lue. Blazers assistant coaches David Vanderpool and Nate Tibbetts will interview for the head coaching vacancy in Cleveland. The Cavs were granted permission by the Blazers to talk to them. Meanwhile, former Lakers coach, now with the Kings, Luke Walton, sued by former TV reporter Kelly Tennant, this for sexual assault when he was an assistant coach with Golden State. She claims Walton forced himself upon her in a hotel room and continued his sexual advances after the incident that has left her traumatized. He claims she is not credible and will fight the lawsuit.
Yeah, she went and had the press conference today, rolled out there with the lawyers, and so this is not going to quietly go away.
Number 4.
Former Oregon Duck running back Jonathan Stewart is retiring from the NFL at the age of 32. Played 11 seasons, 10 in Carolina. He did sign a one-day contract so that he could retire a Panther, and he is their all-time leading rusher. He hit over 1,000 yards just one time in a season. That was 2009, but he does retire the sixth. He has 7,335 yards, which is sixth among active running backs.
Well, I remember he played on a lot of those two-headed monsters, where they ran multiple backs. But Jonathan Stewart was a hell of a player. And I remember when Oregon signed him at the time, they called him one of, because he was at up near Seattle, and he was one of the bigger recruits to ever to come to Oregon. And just a class act all around. Jonathan Stewart, hell of an NFL career, hell of a college career.
He was good, but not great. Like, he was always part of that two-headed monster,
yep,
with D'Angelo
in Carolina.
He was good, but again, not, I don't know.
That's a very nice career, though. And it's cool that they Carolina allowed him to do that, because he should retire a Panther.
But do teams not allow guys to do that?
Well, I think to acknowledge, because like you said, he's not like an all-time great, right? It's not to
he allow is their all-time leading rusher.
To allow him to do that and recognize that that is an important thing, I thought it was a nice touch.
Sophomore wing Victor Bailey is leaving the Oregon basketball team. He averaged 7.5 points per game. Shot pretty well, nearly 40% from three, but he couldn't really find the court in the last third of the season, so he's going to transfer. The Ducks were in the Final Four for Greg Anthony's son, Cole. He's the number one point guard of the nation. Played here at the Nike Hoop Summit a couple weekends ago. This morning, he chose North Carolina.
And that Nemec's been saying that for a couple of weeks. He said that while Oregon was technically in the Final Four, that it wasn't really a consideration, and Oregon knew that. So it wasn't as if Oregon was waiting with bated breath for him to sign. They knew he was going to North Carolina.
Number two.
Seahawks have made a big pre-draft trade. They have dealt defensive end Frank Clark to the Chiefs. In return, they get a first-round pick, which is number 29 in this year's draft. The teams also swap third-round picks this year, and the Seahawks get a second-round pick next year.
Yeah, and he immediately signed a giant deal with Kansas City. He's getting $100-plus million, 63 guaranteed. Right around that what DeMarcus Lawrence got for the Dallas Cowboys. And so at the end of the day, this just came down to Seattle wasn't going to be able to meet his demands. He hadn't signed the franchise tender yet at what, $17.5 million. And so Seattle gets, I think, a pretty good compensation package. I know some Seattle fans are upset because he's been so consistent there coming off a 14 sack season, but they just decided they ultimately couldn't pony up that kind of money. But to get a 1 and a 2, I think that's a nice haul for Frank Clark.
KC revamping their defensive front. They've moved on from Justin Houston, also D Ford, but they did add Alex Okafor and Emmanuel Ogbah, and now Frank Clark.
Seattle may be in the market, by the way, for a free agent. They were talking about maybe Ziggy Ansah, who former Detroit Lion, and Nick Perry visited them as well. So probably draft someone in this year's draft, but also could be in the free agent market, because you now have got almost $18 million that was tied up with Frank Clark to play around with.
So they now have picks 21 and 29
yeah.
in the first round.
One of those will be an edge rusher. There's a ton of them in the draft.
Game 5 tonight. Blazers host the Thunder with a 3-1 lead and an opportunity to win the series and move on to the conference semis. Oklahoma City shooting just 31% from 3 in the series. Portland's defense has been very good, holding the Thunder to under 100 points in each of the 3 series wins. Now, in the last 3 elimination games that Russell Westbrook has faced, he's taken 34, 39, and 43 shots. He scored 45, 46, and 47 points. So.
I think Portland would, if he wants to take 38 attempts, I think that's what he's averaging, I think Portland would be more than happy. I'll tell you, and if he takes 38 shots, Portland closes this thing out tonight at the Moda Center. Because he can't shoot.
The thank God we're not going to get a meaningless win from the Raptor or from the Magic in the Magic Raptor series.
Yes, just it's be 60, gone.
It's 67-44, Toronto leading Orlando at the half. 67-47. They're up by 20 at half, and that is Game 5 as Toronto leads 3-1. We've got Sixers Nets tonight just getting underway. That's Game 5. Philly up 3-1. The Nuggets and Spurs, interestingly enough, the winner of that series would be the Blazers' next opponent, should the Blazers get past the Thunder.
And if it's the Spurs, you have home court in that. Obviously, if it's Denver, then you go on the road.
That series is tied 2-2. They are in Denver tonight. That one will tip at 6:30. And then, of course, the Blazers-Thunder game at 7:30. And Big Sook has his keys to the game brought to you by MILFsForRop.com coming up next.
Me and Mike Francesa will be breaking this game down.
That's your Hot 5 at 5. It's refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. Let's talk about Game 5 tonight next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, guys. For the win tonight, your Portland Trailblazers can move on to the next round of the tournament.
Yeah.
And you get a chance to kind of sit back, relax, and just kind of wait out the Spurs and the Nuggets.
Yeah, and when you put it that way, it's like, man, they better not blow this tonight.
Yeah, don't drag this thing on, right? Don't go back to Oklahoma City.
It kind of adds a little pressure to them.
Well, you get into that, like, the Houston mentality, right? Well, you mentioned it in that game six where it took a Lillard three. Otherwise, you're going back for a game seven. Oof. And you know Oklahoma City's going to play better at home. They're going to get some whistles. So you close this one out. Not that I think if you lose this, not that you're panicked about the series, right? You're just better than they are, and you're going to close them out. You got three opportunities, but yeah, I think that this is an important game to just be done with this. You've been better than them from start to finish, and kill it tonight at the home court.
Well, I mean, I think the one thing that you got to worry about tonight, I agree with you. The Blazers look like the better team here. The Thunder look like they have some issues. Blazers are on a mission, and hence the 3-1 lead. But the one thing that can even this thing out and get the Thunder out of here tonight with a win is the officiating.
Yeah.
Because Game 3, you'll notice, in Game 3, that was the one where Blazer fans were...
17 more free throws Oklahoma City shot.
Yeah, Blazer fans were all hot and bothered.
Yeah.
And rightly so. I mean, it was a poorly called game, but the officials, the way that game was called, did have a major effect on who won the game, I think, because the Thunder were just able to live at the free throw line, and that's really the only way that they could.
And for, yeah,
because I mean, they're not going to shoot their way back into the series, and the Blazers are playing really well. It's just like, I mean, the Thunder could get hot. I mean, who knows? I mean, Westbrook could come out and score 60 tonight. The Thunder could get hot. You don't. I mean, that's not something you're going to count on based on them being a pretty poor shooting team. But I'm just saying, like, tonight, you want to close this out, but if this game is officiated the way Game 3 was officiated, watch out. Oklahoma City can win this game, and like you said, you don't want to turn this around and go back to Oklahoma City.
No, because, again, fluky things can happen. That Game 3 in Oklahoma City, they hit, like, what, like 14 threes, something ridiculous like that? Like, they can't shoot a lick all series, but they knocked down a bunch in that game, and, you know, everyone's capable of doing that or having Westbrook or Russ go off for a big game, so... I think if you're Portland, you have that mentality of closing it out. And Portland has been very businesslike. I love the fact that they haven't really got into this chippy series. Yeah, it's been physical and there's been a lot of talking. But if you notice, it's not really a Portland thing.
I know. I kind of want them to, though.
You want them to get a little personal?
Well, I got to look. I think the NBA, for all its flaws, is entertaining. They have something going with the entertainment side of whether it be... just a few examples, whether it be the Westbrook Lillard thing or the Joel Embiid bit in press conferences, you know, where he's a character and, you know, it's just some of the off court stuff, while many times it's like, I don't know, meaningless and overly dramatic. I think it adds to the league. You know, like the Lillard Westbrook thing is a great example of that. There's a little extra juice there.
Sure.
And I like, and Westbrook certainly is hateable. I mean, he's not a likable guy at all. You root against him. And I'm not, I mean, I don't care about the Blazers. I'm not saying that as a Blazer fan. I'm saying that just as a sports fan. Russell Westbrook is really hard to root for, right? Yeah. But I kind of want to see Lillard, like I loved the fly, or what did he say?
Bombs away?
The bombs away thing. I love that.
And he kind of knocked him down and stood over him.
And Oklahoma City got all cocky after their game 3 win. I kind of want the Blazers to stir it up with him because the Blazers know that they're about to win this series or should win this series. So I mean, they're absolutely prudent in the way they're handling it, and it's classy, but I kind of want them to muck it up with them, too.
I don't know. There's just an element to me that when Oklahoma City feeds off that crap and that's what they want, and they want to play kind of a dirty series and they want to muck it up, and Westbrook wants to look for those kind of the edges, the grudges. I love that Portland really hasn't given into it very much. I just like that they've been above it, and they're just Westbrook said, been wearing that ass out for years.
Hey,
they've been wearing them out all series.
It's the right way to play it, no question. It makes them look like be the bigger man, you know, that whole thing. But I'm telling you, the NBA has got a little something with its little quips and little guys taking shots at other guys, and the guys aren't afraid anymore. And I kind of like that. It's like, it's kind of refreshing.
Someone said Damian needs to rock the baby on Russ just once tonight, like hit a dagger three.
Sure. He's got to have something, right?
Just wants to do a little rock. If they're up big and
if they win this game,
he's got to
do send one message.
I would think so.
Come on, bro. Got to do this. Well, anyway, don't count your chickens. Okay, pal.
No, it's, The series is far from over, but I don't.
Oh, it's close to being over. But.
I don't trust you, the toughest game, right, to close it out. I just don't have any faith in Oklahoma City.
Are people nervous? Are you nervous?
I'm not.
Well, you're not a Blazer fan, but. Well, I mean, yes, you kind of are. You're kind of a homer.
Sure.
And Mike's a big homer. He's all rah-rah on Twitter. Are Blazer fans nervous about this game? I guess you're probably perennially nervous because, you know, when you're a fan of a team, it's like you always sometimes. You just think the worst or feel the worst.
I think there is a confidence right now because this doesn't feel like it's one of those back and forth series, and you just feel like the better team. And I don't think the better team is going to magically lose 3 games, especially when Oklahoma City can't shoot. I think they're fractured. And you know, Paul George said if there's any team that's built to come back from a 3-1 deficit, it's them. Which I don't know why he would say that. I mean, I guess what's he supposed to say? I
just think you're returning home. You've played well the 2 of the last 3 games, and why not finish the series tonight? Because Westbrook shoots 45 shots, then
well, of course, you'll win. All of that is very measured and level-headed, right? If you've been watching the series, yeah. Sure. But it's the Blazers, and it's Blazer fans. Like there's scar tissue there,
you
know? I mean, like, you can't take this for granted.
No. The only thing that would give me a little pause is your role players have been so good in this series, right? Every game you've gotten it, whether it was game 1 with Cantor, Harkless had a big one. You've gotten something from a role player every single game. And Dame nor CJ have had an off night. They have just been consistently good every single game. So if you wanted something that would make me nervous is that you would think eventually one of the guards has to have a dud or you're going to get a night where the role players don't have it, where Chief goes 0-4 or Harkless is bad or Cantor doesn't have a nice game for you. That's the only thing that would give me pause is are you due for a little bit of a stinker? Because even in the one that you lost in Oklahoma City, I wasn't a stinker by any stretch of the imagination. You just, you know, you took their best shot. The free throw differential was huge. And Oklahoma City made, I think it was 14 or 15 threes. You didn't play poorly. Just that game just happened to go the other way. So hopefully this isn't the night that one of those guys picks to have, you know, an off night and give Oklahoma City a window.
No fee secondary ticket marketplace Tick Pick reports that tonight's game has an average listing price of $375.
Yeah, that's a tough ticket.
Wow. That is up. They say that's up about 40% since Portland's Game 4 win.
And you got a chance to close it out at home, right? Go big. Although you want to save some of that for the next series.
Now, I had to go through this a little bit as a fan of a sports franchise when the Royals made the World Series. Mm-hmm. Because, remember, I went back there, and I went back there for Game 1 in Kansas City. But I was debating, like, okay, so when are you going to go? If you are going to pay the money and try to get into one of the Blazers games and see a Blazers playoff game at Moda Center, which game do you choose? How do you...
Yeah, which one do you choose?
You know, Game 1's always safe because, like, oh, man, it's going to be rocking. It's the first game. It's, you know... Or do you wait and say, well, what if most likely it's coming back for Game 5, right?
Yeah.
Let's wait for that one's a bigger game. You know, series would be later. So how do you kind of do that? Well, now they're saying it was when it was 2-1, it was, you know, it was normal prices. But now that the Blazers have a chance to close it out tonight,
people want the closeout.
People want to see that game. Yep. And so it's jumped 40%. The cheapest ticket is $95. And the average purchase price is all the way up to $105.
I don't know. I think I'd be more inclined to save my money and try to go see one in the Spurs Nuggets series because I'm confident they're going to get by. I don't know if I'd blow.
That's hindsight though. Like you didn't think that.
No, I'm just saying now. I don't think I would pony up to go to this one. I think I would save it and try to go see one in the second round. But to me, if you're gonna spend money to get into it, I would go to Game 1. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere, and you never know how long the series is going to go. I think you made the right decision. Game 1 is the one that you pony up and try to get to.
Somebody text the Better You Today text line 55305 and said, great day to be a Blazer scalper.
Damn right.
Those guys out there, man, they are out there working hard.
Yeah.
We all know those guys. And
Shane, I'm looking right at you.
They've been pushing some crappy tickets for a lot of years.
Yes, and good for them for finally getting
to
capitalize on this.
Now, it ended up that World Series, the Royals, it ended up going to 7 games.
And they
had home field. So, like, I was kind of kicking myself, like, oh, my God, it's going 7.
But you already spent the money because you went to San Francisco.
Well, I went to San Francisco, but I went to Game 1 in Kansas City, too.
Yeah.
So I went to 2 games. I went to Game 1 and Game 5, and Madison Bumgarner shut them down both times.
You can't go to Game 7 after that,
can
you?
No, what I'm saying is before the series started, I was going to pick a game. The San Francisco one was kind of off the cuff.
Yeah.
But I was going to pick a game. I'm going to go to one in Kansas City. How do you hold back and say, well, I'm just going to wait for Game 7?
Yeah, it's...
Like, you can't do that.
You can't do it.
You're like... I got to guarantee myself a game, so it's either 1 or 2.
Yeah.
I went to game 1.
I should have gone
to game 2. They actually won game 2.
Yeah, but game 1 is the way to go. Because there's no...
It was horrible, dude. I'm telling you. But you're right. That's why I chose game 1.
Yeah, the atmosphere. Game 1 of the World Series.
The atmosphere was the best for the effing national anthem, and that was it.
Then you got Bumgarner.
Oh, my God. They didn't get one hit. I think Salvi Perez hit a home run in the 7th inning. It was like 7-0.
Yeah. The worst is you got Bumgarner twice.
Yes. I went to game 5 and he pitched there. They got 2 hits. I saw them do nothing. Nothing. I had nothing to cheer for the Royals in the World Series.
No. Well, that's your fault for going against Bumgarner.
I should have gone to game 7.
Yeah, but if you were at game 7 and they lost.
Well, they did lose, but it was an unbelievable finish.
And you didn't go to any of the Met series and they won that.
And I was told by my ticket broker buddy that game 7 prices were not as bad
as you think.
As early in the series because people blow their wad. There's only so many people that are going to go to these games.
Yeah.
And so game 7, it's like nobody expected it. Most people have already been that really want to go to a game have already been to one of the games. Mm-hmm. And so the demand for the prices is not as much as you think it is.
My daughter was going to school in Chicago when the Cubbies were in the World Series. And I desperately wanted to get her to a World Series game. And I just, it was not happening. We talked to your ticket buddy. I tried to talk to some people I know. I went.
Yeah, those tickets were.
It was.
He said that World Series ticket specifically, yeah. The Wrigley Field one, was one of the biggest tickets he's ever had to sell.
I even told my daughter, like take a handful of cash, be careful with it, go down, wait until after the first inning, see if you can find some. Like, we tried everything to try to get her into a game, and it wasn't happening.
Now, Blazer fans, now do we need to say this? Be respectful tonight. If you eliminate Oklahoma City and Russ, you can
cheer a little bit. You can cheer and you can get on them, but you don't be that fan base.
Yeah, don't be that guy that's spreading virally on social media because you're taunting Westbrook and like just don't do that crap.
Just
be happy about your Blazers and let Westbrook What's his name?
Dangerous.
And let him just walk off the court.
Yeah. Don't be the guy throwing sulk. A beer at him and then you end right. up on Deadspin.
Right.
Don't do that.
By the way, the Sixers are beating the Nets 23-2.
What?
23-2 is the score of that game. The Nets have 2 points and there are 3 minutes left in the first quarter.
Oh my gosh.
I thought the Magic one was impressive when they were losing 31-7 with 2 minutes to go in the first quarter.
Is that what's the worst quarter of playoff basketball that's ever happened?
That.
Maybe 2 points?
2 points.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that 4 points and 6 points also would be the worst.
I kind of want to flip over to this now and watch the final 3 minutes of this quarter.
By the way, did it suck that Utah won last night?
Yeah, no one cares. Stop it. I mean,
it's 3-0.
Spider Mitchell, I mean, I get the fact that you had some pride and you didn't get swept, but
it's called a gentleman's sweep for a reason.
Yeah, we don't need to prolong that series. Go away, Utah.
Those are the worst. It was kind of cool to watch. Like, the Utah fans were going crazy and it's like, it's great. And they're interviewing him after the series and Mitchell's all fired up. It's like, I get it. Yeah. But at the same time, from a fan that doesn't care, it's like, dude, go away. You're not winning the series.
Someone even had it. I forget. One of the national writers tweeted something out. He goes, this first round's way too long. Go back to 5 games. Should be more sweeps than this.
Yeah, like, 5 games. Would you be for that?
Yes.
Oh, there it is. 27-6.
With 2:35 to play. Hey, they've quadrupled their score.
Yeah, getting just raining buckets out there. Would you advocate?
Yes.
Five-game first-round series?
We don't need... The vast majority of time, we do not need 7 games to decide the first round of the NBA.
Well, I think it would create more upsets, create more sense of urgency.
No, I don't think it would. I think it would just end crappy series faster.
I do think. I mean, I think that you have a better chance of pulling off an upset if there are fewer games.
Well, that's true, but still, the vast majority of times, there's just not a lot of upsets in the first round.
The Nets are 2 of 16 from the floor.
Oh, darn it! Well, they made 2.
Hey, just be happy they have 6 points. All right.
Yeah, the Nets.
It's 28-6.
By the way, the freaking Nets and the Magic are in the playoffs. What is going on over there in the East?
Welcome to the East.
What is this crap?
Well, the Mets are
the Nets are actually kind of good.
Yeah, they're not terrible.
This game notwithstanding.
Yeah, I know. We're saying that about the team that has 6 points. It's now 30-6.
Now, are we rooting for this to get way worse?
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
At this point.
Even if I was a Nets fan, I'd be like.
Yeah, I need this series to be over, but I would like to see.
A bucket.
The Nets scored. I want this to. I want them to finish with like.
Former Blazer Hollis Jefferson.
To finish with like 37 points. I want this to be like 95-37.
There's old Ben Simmons. I have watched so little of the first round outside of Portland.
I cannot get over how bad Ben Simmons is at shooting the basketball. Like, Ben Simmons is a really, really good player. He is an all-star player. But I ask you the question, is there another high-level professional athlete that does something as poorly in their sport as Ben Simmons does shooting the ball?
Brad Boxberger.
I said
he's
high,
a Royals reliever.
I said high level.
He is among the elite in his craft.
I said high level.
And he cannot pitch.
Nope.
And isn't that a prerequisite of being a pitcher is being able to pitch, but he can't.
I really wanted the Royals to bring in Boxberger when I was at the game on Sunday.
I was going to flip my – I was texting back and forth with Mike, and you guys probably didn't see that game. You don't care. It was Yankees-Royals. And it got to, what, tied in the eighth?
Yeah,
the
Royals scored 6 in the eighth to take a 1-run lead.
6-5, yeah.
And then the Yankees tied it in the ninth.
And I text you. I said, I am going to S if they bring in Boxberger because he's done that. And he didn't. He's such a good manager, he didn't bring him in.
Anytime Kansas City is playing, all I'm hoping for is for Boxberger to come in because I know somewhere Rop is livid.
He should never see the field ever again.
Yeah, when the Royals took the lead, he goes, now you get to look at the worst bullpen of all time.
And wrong?
And you said, LOL, just wait. If he brings in Boxberger, I'm going to S. And then instantly hit a double on like the second pitch, and you're like, "Good hell, it's like clockwork."
But it wasn't Boxberger though. It was
but realize something, yeah. Ben Simmons,
and he's actually supposed to be good.
Ben Simmons is an all star,
but
he has never made a 3-pointer in a regular season NBA game.
Yeah,
in 2 years.
Well, he doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't shoot those.
But that's in today's NBA, a guard.
The Nets broke 10 points.
Yeah, son of a gun.
Dang it,
they got 11.
30-11 now.
Now we're hoping for 44.
What a bunch of scrubs.
Freaking Nets.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. Simmons is an odd player.
Like, how can you be that talented and yet you cannot shoot the three ball at all.
Okay, we got to run. A little Oregon Lottery sports gambling talk coming up next. First, Mike with SportsCenter.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
What were the old balls like? Yeah, discussing Ben Simmons. Better Each Day text line. Not that you're wrong. It's just weird that we can say he's a really, really good player, but atrocious shooter. It's like a really, really good baseball player who bats 200.
Yeah, but in today's
But if you bat 200, you're not
good.
Like, yeah, right. You're not viewed like Ben Simmons.
I mean, he's an all-star. Like, it's one of the better players in the NBA, and he cannot shoot. It's just the weirdest thing to never.
Are we perhaps wrong in saying he's one of the better players in the NBA?
Well, he's an all-star.
Well,
he's good. Fans
vote for people, though.
No, he doesn't get the fan vote. The coaches put him in. He didn't.
Simmons is a good player.
Yes.
I mean, we can all agree there, right? We don't have to call him.
Except for Mike over there.
No. He's a good player, but you're saying one of the best in the NBA.
Mike's calling him a plumber.
He's going all hot, Preston.
I heard about that.
Yeah, Preston hot takes yesterday.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know what it's I don't think the analogy of that he's a good baseball player who bats 200 is right. Somebody brought up, you know, this is probably better. Somebody brought up Magic Johnson and said, when did, you know, Magic didn't shoot a ton from outside.
No, Magic didn't shoot, but he attempted it. And by the way, later in his career, it became more part of his game. But remember, Jordan didn't shoot very well behind the arc either, and it wasn't part of his game until later. But the three wasn't part of the NBA.
Yeah, that's true.
Ben Simmons grew up in an era where everyone shoots the three. Seven-footers shoot the three. Think about this. Marc Gasol shoots three-pointers. Ben Simmons has never attempted one, ever, in an NBA game. It's just the damn he can't even shoot the mid-range jumper.
Cantor's shooting threes out there.
I know, and Ben Simmons just gets scared. Like, it's weird. If you've ever watched them play, you'll get a guy that sits back 6 feet off of him and just dares him. Like, go ahead, shoot. And he's like, nah, not doing it. And it's weird for a player that's that skilled that somewhere along the way, someone didn't help him out to at least have a serviceable Jason Kidd thinks his jumper's terrible.
Yeah. Chris Davis, the O's.
Yeah, but Chris Davis was once good and then just became crappy. Like,
yeah, there's really no, I guess, I mean, I'm really struggling with this one. It's a good, it's like a better player in any sport who is really bad at one key element of what they do. Like,
and that's an important
pickoff
part of the game.
Somebody brought up John Lester's pickoff move.
Yeah.
That's
like
good.
He can't do it.
Or how about this, like when Chuck Knoblauch got the yips?
Yeah, but that's like
Rick Ankiel?
Yeah, I suppose. But this isn't Ben Simmons having the yips. Like, it's not a mental bug.
He just
can't do it. He just can't shoot.
Is it like Billy Hamilton being good at nothing but still being in the majors? Like, is that what it's like?
I'm Boxberger. It's the same sort of thing that I have a hard time wrapping my head around. Like, when you get quarterbacks that can't throw the ball. And
yeah, that may be the best one there. That's the best analogy. Like, it's like
Tim Tebow, right? Tim Tebow won a Heisman Trophy and was a All-American in high school. And then he goes to the NFL, but we've all watched Tim Tebow throw a ball and you're like, what? At no point, with as talented as you are, that is a physical specimen, right? Ben Simmons, Tim Tebow, both just athletic freaks. We can't dream of being a tenth of as athletic as they are. And yet nowhere along the line did someone teach Tim Tebow how to properly throw a football. And no one taught Ben Simmons how to have a jump shot that didn't look like a fourth grade girl.
So is he basically just like a DH? I mean, he's like Big Poppy.
Yes.
He isn't a good fielder, but he can hit. He can rake. So he can score. He's not a good shooter, but he can score.
Yeah. It's just.
So it's like that.
It's very, very strange.
Somebody else brought up Shaq's free throws.
Yeah, that's pretty
bad.
Or
DeAndre Jordan.
But at least.
That blows me away, too, that those guys can't make better percentages.
But at least they attempt it. Like, you can make some. Ben Simmons can't make a three, won't even attempt it.
Yeah.
And someone bringing up, like, Lamar Jackson. Exactly. Lamar Jackson is an athletic freak. But he has like the worst throwing motion and is so inaccurate.
Ooh.
It's like, think of how much better he would be. He would be the best quarterback in football if someone, when he was little, was like, all right, man, I know that you're getting away with this crap, but eventually you're going to want to learn to throw a football.
Shut down corners, but can't tackle. That's similar.
Like who are you talking about?
Who's the,
Dion.
Yeah. See, I think some of that's a bad.
Who's the guy who was traded to the Rams this year from the Chiefs?
The Rams to the Chiefs.
Oh, sorry, from the Chiefs to the Rams. Cornerback who couldn't tackle. I cannot remember his name for some reason.
Oh, Marcus Peters.
Colorado Rockies.
Marcus Peters can't tackle.
Well, you're not.
Or does he just not try to tackle?
Again, I think that's more of an effort thing. Like with Deion and Marcus Peters, I mean, neither one of those guys wants to come up and be like Darrell Revis and be a run stopper. But it's not like they can't tackle. It's just not really something that they put a lot of effort into, nor is it a huge part of their game. Like corners, you don't make a lot of tackles.
I've got it. This is a good one. Derek Zoolander could only turn right on the catwalk.
There you go. He's not an ambi-turner. Amen to that.
Hey, quick note. Well, let's get to it next. The Oregon Lottery, you know, they're saying that their sports betting, and it's just pros. It will not be college. They're trying to avoid. Well, there's a whole thing there.
With the NCAA, they want the tournament to keep coming here, and the NCAA is. I wonder if the NCAA is going to have to loosen that up as more and more states welcome in betting.
Well, they're saying sports betting will be here by August, and there was a poll on Oregon Live, and they were just simply asking the question, should the lottery offer sports betting? And we'll give you the results of those and what's going on there. Coming up next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
This got my little sports pants tight. Oregon Live had this article on the Oregon Lottery sports betting over the weekend. And it says, imagine a day when you could go to a Portland Trailblazers or Timbers game, and in addition to spending $20 on a burger and a Coke, you could wager $100 on the game. Well, not like I can't do that now.
Yeah.
But
while you're sitting there, and
yes.
It's not offshore.
And yes. And I could just get paid right away with my winnings because I'm really smart.
Wouldn't it be great to just have like little kiosks there and you can take your ticket, put it in, get your cash right out and pay for your entire outing?
Isn't that how they do it at European soccer? Don't they have like windows right
there?
Yeah,
there's bookies right there.
Dude, come on.
It's a no-brainer.
What are we doing?
In Jersey now, right, at the Meadowlands, it's kind of like that in that the sports book is across the street and they'll give you a shuttle. Like you can go there pregame because it's a horse track / sports book, and they'll shuttle you over to the game and then give you a ride back.
I didn't have time this trip.
So much, yes.
But by where my aunt and uncle live down the shore now, the Monmouth Park was the first one to open up as a sports book. Yeah. That's separate from the Meadowlands one. I would love to go in there and just see what it's all about. Because I've been to Monmouth Park before for horse racing, but to see it says William Hill Sportsbook right on the sign outside when you drive past it. I was like, oh, yeah, you can legally gamble here.
Imagine the day when those are everywhere. And it's not even a thing that we have to worry about that. You know?
That is Europe. When you walk around Europe, they just have.
They have them.
Yeah, they're just.
The
they're
era
everywhere.
Has become.
The era is beginning.
Not yet.
We're hoping the era becomes.
No, it's a work in progress.
Well, anyway.
Well, we got A&A right up there. It's like, when's their sports book coming in?
Well, they can't.
Yeah, Washington is a little bit behind Oregon.
Well, not only that, but. Didn't we go through this once where the casinos, the Indian casinos, at least in Oregon, can only offer what Oregon Lottery offers. Oregon Lottery put that in the terms of their.
But I don't know if that's with Washington, because we've done some shows up there and we've asked that guy, and I think theirs was they're just kind of waiting to see kind of how everything goes, how the landscape plays out, because they don't want to rush into anything. But like in theory, I mean, from downtown Portland, what is that? Like maybe a 25-minute drive, depending on traffic, 40 if you're in like horrible, you know, stop and go traffic. But in theory, you could have a sports book there within a year or two.
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody said online betting is way still more convenient. Let's face it. No one withdraws any money. That's hilarious.
It can be a little bit tough. But like if you say to Washington, it's harder because a lot of those you can't sign up for if you live in Washington.
I haven't read up too much on it. I still don't understand what's stopping someone from popping up a sports book in like, I don't know, Washington Square Mall.
Yeah.
What's stop? Like the law is there in Oregon. So Why is no one trying to capitalize on this? There must be something.
There has to be, right? I don't know enough about it, but you would assume that there's some sort of hurdle. Otherwise, someone would have done it by now.
Well, anyway, this says that day could be fast approaching as Oregon lottery officials intend to launch sports wagering in time for football season. The lottery hopes to put the state at the forefront of a national sports betting bonanza after the U.S. Supreme Court decision last May cleared the way for every state to get into the business. The numbers are potentially huge. 10 months since New Jersey got into the sports betting business, its handle, which is total dollars wagered, mm-hmm. Do you know what it is? 10 months.
10 months?
10 months.
I don't know. Let's go 15 mil.
1 billion per quarter.
What?
1 billion per quarter.
Per quarter.
That's what it says.
Because I thought I saw something that the numbers hadn't been that great across the country.
$1 billion per quarter out of 10 months.
But this is not, I think that's misleading because I think what they're saying is overall. I don't think they're saying just New Jersey. Obviously.
Okay.
They're saying the sports betting handle is that total. Investment bank Morgan Stanley last November predicted that American sports betting could reach $215 billion a year. That's overall in America.
Okay.
By 2025.
That makes
but
more
right
sense.
But right now it's $1 billion per
I was
quarter.
Like a billion per quarter in New Jersey. I'm like, good Lord.
Well, there's a huge pent-up demand. People want it. Local lottery officials warn Oregon is a relatively small market, but even here they expect the handle will hit $330 million in the first year and more than double that by the third. I mean, you're talking $700 million handle in Oregon?
I played a ton of sports action, and that was when you had to do parlays. How much better is it going to be when I can actually place real wagers?
Well, that's what people want to know is, like, what is this going to look like? And they don't know yet. The Oregon Lottery has hired a company to handle their app and put together their sports betting platform. We just don't know what that's going to be like, but they do want to offer it in their bars and their restaurants and their everywhere else Oregon Lottery is offered. They want to offer it. But what does that mean? I don't know. They don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, and I think that's why, like the casino up in Washington is saying, look, we're just going to kind of wait for other people for this to kind of play itself out. There's also the rumor is that there's people trying to get a national bill passed, right? Because that's the only way that the leagues can get a portion of this is if there's a federal law. So I think some people are worried about rolling out, an actual sports book. Not certain in a year or two if something else kind of comes along and takes a huge hunk out of that.
This is his name's Farshad, the Oregon Lottery's chief gaming officer. And he says, we have about 3 million eligible players in Oregon, many of whom bet illegally now. Our challenge is to create a compelling product that can draw a portion of those illegal bettors and attract a whole new group of customers. After establishing online games this summer, the lottery will begin to install sports betting games in the restaurants and retailers that sell existing lottery games. That rollout should begin early next year, but it remains unclear when and whether the new sports betting games will show up at specific games, like at the Moda Center for tonight's Blazers game.
But for now, like when you're at Club 205, instead of going in the back to play some video poker, you can lay a sawbuck down on the Blazers.
Damn right. And by the way, the poll on Oregon Live, I thought this would be different than the results that it actually spit out. I don't know how many people voted on it, but, you know, those Oregon Live polls.
Sure.
They put on there and said, should the Oregon Lottery offer sports betting? Just simple, yes or no.
Should be 100% yes.
And I thought that there would be a lot of no's. I thought that would be controversial because, you know, well.
Won't someone think of the children?
Right.
Like Oregon?
Like, what's the downside
Oregon.
To that?
Exactly.
I don't get it.
82.5% said they should offer sports.
Yeah, I just don't understand. It's money for the state. Use it to.
It brings it all above board.
Yeah, put it in the $35 million deficit in the Beaverton schools, right? Yeah.
I mean, so 18% of the people are the Marshall University athletic director.
Yeah, it's gambling. It's going to create gambling.
So with all these things that people are arguing, why do you say no to gambling? Well, because it's gambling.
But here's my thing. If this idea it's going to cause gambling problems. Guess what? If you have a gambling problem,
you're already gambling,
right?
Yeah. Let's at least make money off that poor sap.
Get off my porch.
It's like the person that thinks like if you have sex education, it's going to lead to kids having more sex. Oh, we can't tell them about it because that means they're going to want to have it. No, guess what? They already want to have it.
And they already are having it. It's not just want to.
Yes.
They're getting it in. All right, well, that's fun. Coming up next, it's time for the club. The Game of Thrones odds are out. Who will die? I will tell you the three least likely to die and two most likely to die. See if you can guess.
I'm just happy that people are going to die. I'm waiting for the massacre.
And, did you poo-poo the last episode?
No, I poo-pooed
the first episode.
I'm ready for people to die. Well,
again, I wasn't here yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to react.
We didn't talk about Game of Thrones
but
at all.
But even just to come in and be like, hey, what'd you guys think of the episode? Because, again, very little happened in terms of action. Yeah.
They just teed up.
I figured Suk would be angry again.
No, they teed up. It's going to be an emotional thing.
They teed it up perfectly.
And now I want to see some of that emotion. They better not give me like one or two minor characters. The Night King's coming, and I want some asses kicked.
The Easter Bunny Brawler says he is not violent, except that he's a wanted man.
Yes.
So we'll get to that as well. Coming up in the club on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.